You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
If you will, find the passage in Isaiah 6. Verse 8, today we're going to be handling the fact that we're sent, and we're really going to focus on school starting back, school staff, teachers, everything, students. We're going to be having a prayer time for both of those here in just a little bit in our service. It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom should I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Let's pray together. Father, help me be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I do want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher, I'm your preacher, and on me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room, and I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. It's good to have you. Welcome to our guest here today as well. Dealing with Isaiah here is a picture of him being in the presence of God. You can look at Isaiah 6 a little deeply, more deeply, this week or maybe even this afternoon. And know that Isaiah got to go to a place that is miraculous. He got to go to the throne room of God. And he's in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, he needed a cleansing that happened to him. He's sinful man. That happened. A cleansing happened. There was a blessing that went on. And then there was the question of who am I going to send? And Isaiah says, send me. All through the Old and the New Testament, you'll see a pattern of being sent. We're all being sent. So with school starting back this week, if not this week, soon, I know that our granddaughters don't start school until the end of August. I know everybody's not on the same schedule or week, but just in the next few weeks, school's going to be starting back, but a lot of them are going to be starting back this next week. We want to give you a blessing today as you go back into the school systems, also a sending for you all as well. And we have about six different school systems in that are near us that we absolutely want to pray for and realizing we're sending people to them. We have Christian homeschool, we have Christian campus schools, we have public schools that are all around us. So I want to begin by just mentioning some people in the school system. And I'm sure I'll forget people. I don't mean to if I've done this, but I'm starting off with the cafeteria people. 1 in 4 kids in our state are hungry constantly. We can get to the fringe areas of the state of Kentucky, eastern and southeastern Kentucky, and the number may be 1 to 3. This comes from Feeding America information, Feeding Kentucky information, that 1 in 4 are dealing with hunger. And I know that in the cafeteria, just getting everything ready, and we have cafeteria staff and personnel that come to this church that serve others, that even serve the Lord in that capacity. But we know there's summer feeding programs that continue to go on, but we want to bless you. We want to bless you all as you even work in the cafeteria. I'm really going to bless those in the cafeteria. When I first came to Lawrenceburg back in 94, I did a baccalaureate service, and it's televised. And I got up there and said, congratulations, you've made it through 12 years of school lunches. Well, I have worn that for almost 30 years. One of the ladies, she's with the Lord now, But she got so mad at me that my punishment, she called my office, and my punishment was I had to eat school lunch for at least 1 week. I had to come and eat school lunch for at least 1 week and realize it wasn't really that bad. You know, it was actually pretty good. In fact, one of my favorite Thanksgiving meals is the one at Turner. I can't wait to get that lunch at Turner. That it's incredible. I go through there just like a little boy, which I'm not, but I go through there just like I am and get their Thanksgiving lunch. But you're feeding kids. Let me just be real honest with you. I know cafeteria workers in our school system in Anderson that give the kids a little more on Friday and a little more on Monday because they don't get much Saturday and Sunday when they go home. Just know that alone is the kingdom of God at work. Okay, know that. Know that you're feeding them. You're caring for them. You know, 1 in 4 in our area, 1 in 3 in other parts of the state. But it is maintenance. Those people that keep everything clean and just really run behind kids. And we all know what running behind kids looks like even at our home, let alone when you have 300 or 400 of them. Bus drivers, you safely to and fro, coaches, teachers, obviously, counselors that are there to just help with home situations, anxiety with kids, principals. We all love them, right? Principals that work hard and planning and just handling staff and parents, and you just can't understand the load that they're under. The more administration, the support staff. I've got to throw this one in here because my wife was this for over 20 some years, and school nurses, and then those at the sheriff and the resource officers that are there to help keep kids safe. I just wanted to give you a picture of all this. I just want you to know when I go through this list, I can think of someone in that category that has invested in my life. I when I read about somebody in the cafeteria or maintenance or a bus driver, I remember Rooster McCubbin, and you know he's got to be a cool bus driver if his nickname is Rooster, you know? And Ralph Gupton, who used to pick me up in the mornings. And when I was late, I'd chase him down the road, you know, only to have him stop and get me. I can go on and on with people. Just even recently, and I know you can do the same. I know you can think of people in these categories that really were just a consistent part of your life. I know that recently, we've gone back home to Campbellsville to have a couple of funerals, and one of them was one of my coaches who's like a dad to me, and another one was a teacher that Julie had in elementary school that they still speak into our lives in fond memories of all of them. And I know you can do the same thing. I used to go through the cafeteria line and listen to Edith Sapp give me the wisdom for the day, you know, and she would, and we would really prompt her with that, and she was serious when she did it. She would just come into our life, you know. It's just amazing how this happens. So one time, Julie and I were teaching for Gideon's International, and we did this for about 12 years. And we would go to major cities and teach at their international convention. And we had a Gideon come in, a speaker, and he asked us to write down the people of our life, like write down who Miss America, the Miss America for last year, write down her name. And most of us just looked at each other. Or write down the name of the person who won the National League batting title last year. And just go with celebrities and people in media and just, could you write these people's names down? And my page was black, was blank. Just nobody there. And then he said, write down the top 5 people who have spoken into your life or invested into your life. Well, that was easy for me to do. In fact, it was hard to condense it down to five. And then once we had time to do that, he said, I'm just going to take a stab at this. He said, I'm going to guess that there's at least a teacher, obviously a parent or a guardian, some family member, and there's a teacher or a coach, or there's a pastor in those top five. And man, he nailed it for all of us. And I just want you to know that in that list of top five people who have invested in our life were school personnel, people that were around on a daily basis. I find that interesting. So I felt compelled today to not just be so topical, but to be timely with letting you know, as you go into the school system, God is using you. It's not that he's going to or that he can. He is. He uses you in those capacities in an incredible way. And so my prayers as a pastor and a leader is to teach you to see that your ministry is actually your workplace. Sometimes people want me as a pastor to add on other ministries to things you're already doing. And yet I know this is going to add some stress and anxiety to your life. I'm really, if you'll just look back over 30 years, I'm not that much of an add-to pastor. I'm more of a pastor that says, realize where God has placed you and then work that for the kingdom of God. Amen. Learn that. Amen. That he uses you on a day-to-day basis for that. And that's my prayer. My prayer is not to stack up more ministry on you. It's just to make you aware that even your workplace is a place of ministry that he has designed for you. And I want you to see your workplace as more than your living. I want you to see it as that. I don't want you to just see it as a way to pay the mortgage. I want you to see it as a way that God can use you in everyday purpose and influence in your life. I just know I paid attention to that. I paid attention to those people who were just consistently, constantly there in my life. And maybe a dose of encouragement here, or a question of, Jeff, do you need to be doing that, you know? Whenever they said to me, I'm going to tell your dad, it meant they've already told my dad. You know, it wasn't that it was going to happen. It was already, I'm just kind of tipping you off that that's going to happen. And I look back and it doesn't bother me at all. Recently at a funeral, just in the last few weeks, I went back and I did the funeral of my coach, my baseball coach. And there was a man there who was in charge of the 4-H program in our school. Well, I had just moved to Campbellsville from Greene County. And I just moved there, and he called me over. And we were talking. And what happened was, your pastor at the age of 14 got sent home from 4-H camp, okay? Usually they just punish you, but my punishment was that my dad, I got sent home. And we'll just leave every imaginary thing in your mind blank right now, because we'll not go any further. But I wasn't allowed to continue to stay at 4-H camp. My dad picked me up that morning. They made me stay up all night. And my dad picked me up with all of my gear, and my dad pulled up. And remember, some of you knew my father, but my dad was a drill sergeant at Fort McClellan, Alabama. He never quit being a drill sergeant. He said, "Son, are you glad to see me this morning?" And I said, "No, sir, I am not," was my answer. "I am not glad to see you." So this guy that headed up the 4-H program saw me at the funeral, and he motioned for me to come over there. And he said, "I just want you to know, I've lived with this guilt all of my life that I did the wrong thing to you, that I harmed you or I wounded you or hurt you in some way." I said, "Mr. Baxter," I said, "you should have done more to me than you did." I said, "You did the right thing." And my dad made me write the 4-H leader for the state, you know, had to write him a letter. I I snuck out of a cabin real early in the morning, and the cabin counselor was a deacon in the church that my father pastored, and it just was a mess, okay? Just a mess. So Dad made me do all my layers of asking people to forgive me. I said, "Mr. Baxter," I said, "you did the right thing for me." I said, "you didn't do anything wrong." And he held his heart. And he said, "man, I've needed to hear that from you all these years." Guys, I was 14 and now I'm 66. And he's lived with that for a long time. I'm glad he did what he did to me. I think I needed more done to me than what was done to me. I didn't at that time, but I do now as an adult. I appreciate him having the fortitude and the leadership to do what he did. And the picture is, I didn't know he was, I hadn't forgotten about it because I got punished when I got home. That I will remember for the rest of my life. But I didn't know he was suffering with it as much. But yet, God used him in my life. I needed a straightening up, you know? So there's times there's great encouragement. There's times those people in the school system, and he was in the school system with the 4-H program. It was just, I needed a straightening up, and he gave it to me, and I needed it in my life. I just want you to see how God uses you, whether it's in encouragement or correction or just empathy and sympathy, just having somebody to talk to or to realize what they're going through on the weekend, and it becomes maybe a continued matter of prayer in their life. So I want you to see this in Colossians 3. And Kim, just bring up verses 15 through 17, if you will, please, instead of the others that I gave you. This is to all you who are in the school systems, working in all those, whatever it is. Let the peace of the Messiah, Christ, which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Let him control them. Don't let the situations control them. Don't let your emotions control them. Let Christ control your hearts. And be thankful. Be thankful. Verse 16, let the message about Christ the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father and giving thanks through him. The workplace is your ministry. It is a place of influence. You know what we teach here, that where do I start? Where do I do any ministry at all? And you know what we tell you, where you live, work, learn, and play. That's where you do it. That's where you start. You're going, well, where can I begin? Well, begin where you live. Then pretty commonly you have where you work. And then if you're in school, where you learn, but also where you do your recreation, but especially your work. So I want to encourage you that your work is more than just a living. That you have purpose and you have influence and you have reach in there in the everyday. And it really is in the everyday. As I get older, I think people are looking for new. You know, new. And it's just really in the routine and the everyday that makes the connection. That God uses us to advance his kingdom. In a recent sermon, I was encouraging you to be a blessing, to just leave. What do we leave with on that day? Lord, I want to be a blessing and just make it better. Do you make things better? Or do you make them worse? But make them better wherever you are. And then you'll ask me, if you put any thought into what I'm saying today at all, you'll ask me, well, what about me, preacher? What about me? Who's going to minister to me? Who's going to do, I see all this pouring out into other people. Who is going to take care of me? I think it's a great question. I think it's a question we all ask. I just want you to know that he will empower you. He will do that. He will use other people to empower you. He himself, through his Holy Spirit, will empower you too. For those, you're saying, Pastor, you want me to be an influence in the school system and in any capacity that I have. And I do. I think that scripture is telling us to do that, no matter what we're doing. But you need to realize, where do you plug in? Where do you get your power? You get it from the Father. You've got to go to the Father. You constantly have to go to the Father. Christ made that available to us, that we go to the Father with all this, that we plug in there with Him. And He gives us the power to do the influence of the everyday wherever we are. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58 for just a moment. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, that God will use it. God will use it in some capacity in your life. It will have value. I want you to look at John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." In verse 22, I like it a little bit. I think Baptists have a hard time with this one. But after saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's what we want to pray for you today. We want to pray over you who are teachers, who are counselors, who are bus drivers, who work to maintain the property and the premises, and the cafeteria workers, and the principals, and the administrator, and the support staff, and the nurses, and the school resource or the safety resource officer. We really want to pray over them. I'm telling you this. You need to be careful how you do this today, but maybe you just want to drive around the front of it, and I don't mean stop in front of it, but just pray over that campus wherever it is. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to park or anything. I'm not going to run around the building with my hands up in the air and get reported, you know? But I'm going to go to campuses and just pause for a moment and just pray over the campus. Just pray for this school year, the leaders and the kids who are in need. And one of my greatest prayers, for example, the resource leaders in each of the schools, is that they'll be highlighted. That they'll be highlighted. I'm going to speak on behalf of you, and I'm going to do this without it being business other than the Lord's business. The school systems around here know that if there is a need, call the office. Whether it's clothing or food or rent, all those things. I know I'm opening us up for a lot of that, but we have a great working relationship with the resource officers, especially for the kids, and let us know what they need. And I want you to know they do that, and I want you to know your tithes and offerings go to that. If we've got to help clothe a child, or we've got to help feed a child, or even if we've got to help with some rent or whatever situation may be, to just help that kid have some stability in their life. That they're blessings, right? Not burdens. And remember what we say, some of them are rowdy blessings, but they're still blessings. And we've got to remember that in what we do. We're 1 in 4 over the weekend, usually don't have anything to eat. That's where Backpack Buddies comes in. I want to tell you about a new ministry we're connecting with. It's called Boone Brothers. You'll see some of that here in the next few Sundays. But it's started out of Southland in Lexington. And we're taking deer that people don't want and processing it into a meat stick, a protein stick, and giving it to the resource of the schools. And some people are like, I don't know if they'll eat that. Well, they'll gnaw on a Slim Jim. You know, they and Macho Man Savage, you know, they'll gnaw on a Slim Jim. But I think they'll eat that as well on the meat stick. And so we're helping to process that, get them manufactured, where we can put those in the backpack. And so at least they have some sense of protein over the weekends. And I know that I know that sounds kind of weird, but we're looking to be able so that we can continually feed children and bless them. And that's what we want to be. We want to be that constant influence of the kingdom of God in their life. And maybe when they're older, like some of us, they look back over every situation of cafeteria or maintenance. There's a guy I grew up with in Summersville. He maintained the property. His name was Aaron Wayne Milby. Coolest guy in the world. Aaron, just a couple, 3 years ago, I went back and did his funeral, and I was able to tell Aaron Wayne stories. You know, God bless him. I lived just down the road. In the summertime, he'd open up and let us play basketball in there, you know, without anybody knowing about it. But Aaron Wayne was cool, you know, and he just was a constant in my life. And to think one day, that little kid running around him would preach his funeral. You know, only God could see that. And it went back. I know you could do the same thing. And let's pray for them. Let's lift them up. Let's encourage them. And if you're part of what I said in the school system in any form or fashion, I'm just going to have you to stand where you are, okay? We're going to stand with you, all right? We're going to do that. But we want to see you. So if you work in the school system in any capacity, would you just stand up for a moment? I know it's awkward, but just hang on, all right? I want us to look around us. I want us to look around at these people. Just stay standing. And then when it comes to students, then we're all going to join you, but just remember where they are. If you're a student here today, it doesn't matter what school system you may be in. I want you to stand with the teachers for just a moment. Will you do that? Would you stand up where we can see you? Because we're going to pray over you in just a moment too. So let our eyes look around and see these people. Because in a moment, we're going to stretch out a hand toward them. Or if they're by themselves and you feel like you want to go stand with them, please feel free to be able to do that. So get look and see where they are. And now let's stand with them, okay? Identify them. And if you want to go to one of these to one of these in the school system, go to them right now, okay? You've got the ability to be able to do that and the freedom to do that. So we're going to pray for personnel first, and then we've got a prayer for students as well, okay? So those you saw stand up, cast a hand to them, will you? Will you do that? And let's pray over them today. Would you pray endurance over them today? They need it. They're going to be worn out. It's endurance to them. Would you pray empowerment by their Heavenly Father to empower them, to give them charge? Would you pray that they have discernment on the students, that they'll be able to see what the Holy Spirit is highlighting in their life? Would you pray they have the compassion of Christ? Not the compassion of man, but the compassion of Christ. It's different. Would you pray that over them? Would you pray for strength, emotional, physical, spiritual strength? And on top of that one, would you pray rest over them when they can and when they do? Lord, give them wisdom. And Lord, give them patience. With students, with co-workers, with administration, give them patience. And Lord, may they realize that they are an instrument of you and they represent your grace and your peace. And I know that you give it to them. And I pray that they sense that you are using them to give it to others. And then over students, look at Luke 2:52. We're going to have it on the screen. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. To the students out there, I pray that you're gracious and kind. I pray that you're respectful. I pray that you take stands, lead with character and integrity. And don't go in there looking to be a follower of whether you fit in or not. School can just be weird, period. But go in there as a leader, and a leader in the kingdom of God. Just as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people, we pray the same over you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray this prayer today. Amen. God bless you as you serve. Our invitation is given. You may want to come and add to that prayer. You may want to come and be prayed for, with, or prayed over. I don't know what it is that you want to do, but it's here for you. The people are here for you. You may want to come and make it a day of surrender, of surrendering your heart and your life to the Lord. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Counselors, would you come and find your place, if you will? And then not only counselors coming and finding their place, the truth of it is you come and you respond. Our team's going to lead us. You come.